When I was a teenager, I used to work at my parents' factory in the western part of Sydney. And there was a worker in my parents' factory called Max. That's his real name. I haven't changed it because he didn't do anything wrong. And Max worked for my stepfather, I think, basically from when he left school. Max, I always thought, was old. He was somewhere between 40 and 50. I've since learnt that's not old. And he would come to work to start work at 8 a.m. each morning and knock off at 4:30, and he would have his weekends to himself. And I was always envious. Always. You see, I didn't get to knock off at 4:30 because it was my parents' factory, and if you've ever worked for your parents, you know what happens. There's always things to be done. I used to work on the weekends. Used to work on my holidays. And somewhere in there, I still did homework and went to school. Life seemed so easy for Max. I was envious. Yesterday afternoon, I was also envious and jealous. We should have a confession time in a moment. I was envious and jealous because across the road there was a birthday party going on. And there was laughter and there was good times and all this. And I was trying to finish a sermon off and get things ready for the services today. It was a very busy Saturday. And I was envious. I was envious that they had such settled lives. And then I thought, well, a Christian minister is not part of the job description, is it? No such thing as a settled life. But how about for all Christians? Do you long for a settled life at times? A settled life, in the end, will probably have no impact on this world. The followers of Christ are in a different situation to Max. 2,000 years ago, our world was turned upside down, or some people might say the right way up. And when you think of 2,000 years ago, you probably think straight away death and resurrection of Jesus, and you are correct. But Pentecost and the coming of the Spirit also turns our world the right way up, and in some sense also upside down at the same time. It disturbs or unsettles our settled lives. Pentecost comes from the idea of 50. Pentecost is the 50th day after the Jewish Passover, the Sunday of the Jewish Passover, which as Christians, because Jesus rose on the Sunday after the Passover, means that we now celebrate Pentecost on the 50th day after Easter. Originally it was a Jewish celebration. It was part of the Feast of Weeks. It was the first fruits of the harvest. And they would come together and they would celebrate. And that's why when you read the story from Acts chapter 2, and you might remember that there's all these people from all these different nations in Jerusalem. Did you ever wonder why they're there? They're there because it's a festival time for them. The Feast of Pentecost. We celebrate it, but not as the first fruits of the harvest, but of the giving of the Holy Spirit, poured out on all those who follow Christ. And Acts 2 tells of this dynamic day, a rushing wind and tongues of fire upon their heads. And in many ways, it was a very unexpected day. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. You wake up in the morning, oh, I wonder what might happen today. Rushing winds and tongues of fire aren't normally the things that you would think happen in a normal day. And yet Pentecost probably should have not been unexpected. Because when you look at the readings that we had, consider the first reading that we had. If you'd like to turn with me to John chapter 16 and see what Jesus says. This is just before the Lord's, it's part of the whole Lord's Supper scene. It's about just before Jesus dies. And look at chapter 16, beginning at verse 6. Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I, this is Jesus speaking, but I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. That is, death, resurrection, ascension into heaven. Because unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit as the counselor. Now, the original word is a word called paraclete, and it must be one of the trickiest words in the Bible to try and translate into English. If you read all the different English translations, you'll come up with words like counselor, comforter, advocate. I understand there's one that says disturber, and then some just don't know what to do and they call it paraclete. Now, it's not a counselor as we might understand a counselor. You have some issues you want to talk to somebody about. No, it's not that sort of counseling. It's more a legal sort of idea of counselor. It's one who comes alongside. It's an advocate in that sense. It's one who directs and equips. And that's the great promise of Jesus, that we are not alone. Jesus walks alongside us. In fact, he indwells us by his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also plays a role not only in our lives, but in the lives of the world. Have a look what he says a bit further on. Verse 8, when he comes, that's the counselor, comforter, advocate, paraclete, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. He'll convict the world. He will, and that was our experience too, wasn't it? When we suddenly realized how far away from God we were convicted. And the Spirit does that. In terms of righteousness of the world, it's the lack thereof. In terms of judgment, it's what will happen. And I don't know about you, but this is actually an encouragement for us, that the Holy Spirit goes ahead and prepares the ground. Do you ever tell people about Jesus sometimes and they become Christians and you think, how did that happen? It's because God prepared the ground. The Spirit goes ahead. But we also find out a bit later on, verse 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And so you can see another part of the role of the Spirit to guide us in truth. In fact, if you read through that whole section in John, you see a lot about what the Spirit does. But when you go back to Acts chapter 1, you see one other thing that the Spirit does. And also you see that it shouldn't have been surprising the day of Pentecost, because Jesus was very clear about it. Have a look what he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 again. On one occasion, whilst he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It should have been expected. And verse 7 and 8, you see the role of the Spirit. He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. He's talking about when's Jesus going to come back, when's the kingdom going to be set up again. Verse 8, but you will receive power. Power. When the Holy Spirit comes. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Power, power to overcome temptation, power to understand the Word of God, power to do miraculous things. God empowers his people. But he also empowers them to witness. And you see this commissioning of the disciples, and you see this pattern. You will be my witnesses in where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. The first to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ were in Jerusalem. That very day, Peter gets up and he preaches, and some 3,000 come to the Lord. It's in Jerusalem. But they didn't stay long in Jerusalem. In fact, actually, the disciples needed a bit of encouragement to get out of Jerusalem. Jerusalem seemed to be going quite well at the time. But let me read for you what happens a bit later on in the story of Acts. It's straight after the martyrdom of Stephen. Stephen's just been killed. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles, so all the Christians except the apostles, were scattered throughout, do you want to guess? Judea and Samaria. And in some sense, the message has never stopped running to the very ends of the earth. And when you finish the book of Acts, where does the book of Acts finish? Well, for those of you who know, it finishes with Paul in Rome, the end of the known world at that time. Obviously, they'd never heard of Tennant Creek or many of the other BCA parishes around this country. Because I don't know about you, but some of them are the ends of the earth, literally on the other side. The message keeps going, doesn't it? To Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Tennant Creek, Bendigo, Melbourne, wherever. A message that just keeps on going because the messengers keep on going and taking the message with them, empowered by the Spirit. See, I see a church here that's growing. I see a church here that's growing. It's growing in maturity. And there's some anecdotal evidence that it's growing in numbers as well. But a lot of the growth has come from people coming from other churches, either from other parts of town or who've moved into Bendy. Now, don't get me wrong. You are most welcome. But I want us to be not just a place that Christians say, yeah, I like being here. But I want us to be a people that have got a message that we take back out there. And that message just keeps going and going and going. If you're new to our parish, I'm glad. Settle in. Don't expect to be a pew warmer. I don't like pew warmers. We've got a message to tell. We need to grow through being witnesses. And the Holy Spirit's put it on my heart. And my prayer is that He puts it on your heart also. And that's why in the coming sermon series, after we finish the Judges one, I want to look at this idea of promoting the gospel. We don't all have to be like Billy Graham, but we all play a part in promoting the gospel. We all have a part to play. And I want to foster a culture here of promoting the gospel and the good news about Jesus. Because I know that that's what the Holy Spirit is keen to do. And if the Holy Spirit indwells us, then He'll also bring that same keenness to us. And the same pattern that we see in Acts is the same pattern that I think we should see here. See, the idea of going from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth is not just a geographical one in a sense. But it's also a pattern of how it works for us. The good news of Christ works here in us and then spreads. Like when you drop a pebble into a still pond and it just keeps going. And we're the ones to take it from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth, wherever that might be. Are we salt and light to Judea and Samaria out there? Are we willing to go to the ends of the earth or to at least play a part in sending our resources to help there? See, that's what I want to see. How about you? See, the Holy Spirit is definitely stirring in me to take that message and just keep that message going. And I'm looking for some travelling companions. And this is the requirement. Faith in Christ. You can tick them off as you go. And because you have faith in Christ, you have the Spirit of the living God in you. That same comforter, that same counselor, that same one of power. And so He stirs you up. And finally, you're a person who, in response to that stirring, is willing, no, better still, is gutsy enough to pray. To pray a prayer like the prayer that I'm going to ask these guys to put on the screen now. Sometimes people say, "Oh, I don't like praying written prayers," but you know, because they're not just from the heart. Well, this is from the heart. This is one of these written prayers that's from the heart, inspired by the Spirit, and it's a prayer that stirs my heart. Have a look at those words. My question to you is this. On this Pentecost Sunday, when we remember the Spirit of God who comes upon His church and stirs it into mission in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, including Tennant Creek, do you have the courage to pray that prayer? Do you have a life that's settled, but you're willing to let God unsettle it? Or do you like it settled? What is the Spirit of God saying to you now? And if you have the courage to pray that prayer, I ask you to pray it with me. But I want you to be honest. Because if you're not comfortable to pray that prayer, please don't pray it. Don't pray it. But for the rest of us, are you ready? Are you gutsy enough? Is the Spirit of God giving you the power to pray it and to unsettle our settled lives for His kingdom? If He is, I'm now about to pray it, and I invite you, if you wish, to pray it with me. Christ, whose insistent call disturbs our settled lives, give us discernment to hear Your word, grace to relinquish our tasks, and courage to follow empty-handed wherever You may lead, so that the voice of Your gospel may reach the ends of the earth. Amen. 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 Amen.